This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Jerome Anthony and you're listening to On The Ball, where we are going to be discussing Game Week 22. Some big matches there. But before we discuss that, let me give you a word on the Money Control app. The Money Control app is available in three languages, English, Hindi and Gujarati. In case you do not have the app, please download it now. Coming back to EPL Game Week 22, I have two of my colleagues, Prakhar and Dustin Yard, who are going to be discussing what we could expect in Game Week 22. And if you do not have a captain for your fantasy team, who should you captain? First, hi and welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks, Jerome. It's good to be here.
Thanks, Jerome. Great to be back on the podcast.
Prakhar, before I come to you, there's a big match for Liverpool, or rather for Tottenham, who have been sort of in form, out of form. They've struggled a bit. Let me ask Dustin first. Do you think Tottenham will be able to break Liverpool's dream run?
Well, on paper and from what I've seen in the recent past, it looks very unlikely because Liverpool are just performing at a different level. I've not seen any of the Premier League clubs perform at this consistent level so far in the season. Only City can match them with their brilliance, but not with their consistency. So a brilliant City on their day look capable of breaking down this Liverpool side.
Okay.
But we've seen Mourinho frustrate teams in the past. He's got his back up against the wall. He could play a low block and try to put Liverpool off their game with that defense and hit them on the counter. If that works, it would be great. And we've also seen Son returning up front, and with Harry Kane missing, he would want to prove a point that I can be better than that red card that he got in the previous game.
Right.
So we could see an upset, but it seems highly unlikely.
Prakhar, now you can give me all your stats on Liverpool. How has their run been so far in the EPL?
So there's no denying fact that almost every Premier League follower and at large every football follower knows right now that this is the best chance Liverpool has to clinch the Premier League title. But here's an interesting fact. If they win tomorrow against Tottenham, so they will win 20 out of the 21 matches they would have played. And if they win, they would have created a record for the best start for a Premier League side in 131 years of top flight English football history. So that's something remarkable. Like now, records are just breaking. Every match that Liverpool play, they create some sort of record. That has been an incredible form for the Reds this season, and it has been a flawless season. And if you see, initially at the start of the season we had discussed that Liverpool have the problem of not keeping clean sheets, but even they have sorted that thing out and they have managed quite a few clean sheets in past many matches. So the flaws that the other teams could have exploited during the start of the season, those have been sorted. And right from back to front, all players are in top form and it looks like a perfectly well gelled unit. And the players on the bench are also hitting form at the right time. So it looks like a team poised to win the title, and there's no chink in the armor that I can see of as of now.
Bang on, Prakhar. I really like your passion more than anything for Liverpool. Now, do you see the cup in sight?
Yes, it's almost like unless and until the team implodes,
Or slips.
Like it is a disaster in waiting. Like they lose 10 matches in a row or 11 matches in a row. Even if they are on a losing streak of 5 matches and 6 matches or 10 matches in a row, at best they will finish within top 6 or top 7.
Right.
That much of security they have. So
I like your stark imagination. You were just talking about the cup being inside and then at the same time Liverpool falling down the order. I'm quite confident that yes, the cup is inside.
Yes.
In fact, the only thing that Liverpool will be looking at right now is the cup, and they will surely take it home given their form.
Correct.
Of course. So this is, in the past 30 years, Liverpool have never taken away the Premier League title.
Absolutely. So they came close past two seasons. They were running close. But yes, the cup is in sight and the team looks ready to clinch that title. I'm just waiting for me. Yeah.
Quite possible there,
yes.
Prakhar. And I hope that you do get to party once Liverpool lift the title.
Yes,
but coming back to the game, what do you think would be an advantage for Liverpool, playing away?
Firstly, in the previous match that they played last weekend, that was the FA Cup against Everton, which they won. But Klopp took the precaution of playing a very young squad. not the first team squad for the Liverpool. So in this match, they will start with their first team, and also the return of Sadio Mane. And he recently won the African Player of the Year.
Right.
So he enjoyed a really great season, and he was duly rewarded with African Player of the Year award. And the form that Mane is in, sometimes people tend to forget that we have Mohamed Salah as well in the wings. So
right.
Yeah. So yeah, I would love to see Sadio Mane back in action. And injury concerns are also there, but those are to the players who are not the regular starter for the team.
Right.
So he
has
not a major problem.
Okay, Dustin, anything you want to tell us about what could be an advantage for Tottenham?
Well, I would just like to rim-procker up some unpleasant memories.
Yeah.
That is when last time Liverpool were close to lifting the cup under Brendan Rodgers, and Gerrard had that infamous slip against Chelsea.
Yes.
It was Mourinho in the opposite dugout watching over who orchestrated that entire coup, you could say, when they took away that title from Liverpool.
Right.
So could Mourinho do something again this time around, although we don't see Tottenham going ahead, but he could lend a helping hand by damaging Liverpool's confidence if he can land a heavy blow. Also, we shouldn't forget that if Mourinho manages to get the better of Klopp in this game, it sets a roadmap for managers in the future. So that first defeat could prove to be a major flowing point into next results if other managers can replicate that sort of a structure against them. But let's speak about Mourinho's new manager bounce. He won 4 of his first 5 games, but since then it's only 2 wins in the last 7. So that aura seems to be dissipating, and Prakar mentioned Liverpool's clean sheet record getting better. Tottenham have just 1 clean sheet in 9 games.
Whoa.
So these forwards of Liverpool will be licking their lips when they go up against this Tottenham side.
True that. Let's move on to Manchester City travelling to Aston Villa. Prakar, is this going to be a goal fest? Let me put it that way.
Yes, absolutely. The kind of poor form that Aston Villa is in, and the kind of free-flowing football that Manchester City loves to play, I see a high goal-scoring match. City thumping like 4 or 5 goals easily. And look at Villa where they are. They're 17th on the table, and their recent form hasn't been that inspiring as well. 3 losses in past 5 Premier League matches. So that doesn't speak well for Villa. So I see an out and out comfortable win for City.
Right. And what do you suggest, Dustin? Who could be the pick players for Manchester City?
Well, I think the City strikers will be hungry to get out in this game and get some goals across their name. Also Raheem Sterling, because Sterling could have had a hat-trick in the game against United. He had a lot of chance, and we haven't mentioned that game. The tactics that Pep Guardiola used in the midweek match in the League Cup semi-final first leg when they played Manchester United. Now we remember just recently in the league, Manchester United got the better of Guardiola City, and that landed a heavy blow on Guardiola's title hopes. They won 2-1 at the Etihad. This time Guardiola came to Old Trafford without any striker in the starting lineup, and before the match when they asked Guardiola, is it an injury concern, etc., he was very blunt in saying, no, this is how I want to play. And the first half was a sham on United structure, you could say, because the defenders, they weren't doing anything. They were just standing back because they didn't have any forward to mark. And out of the blue, they had a player like Mahrez or De Bruyne running at them full tilt because of that gap that was left in midfield. It was a tactical masterclass by Guardiola, although he didn't acknowledge it. Post-match, when reporter asked him, Guardiola was simply saying, no, it's just how we play, and if we had to lose, you would have criticized our result. So he seems to be an unhappy manager at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this game, Aguero would be returning back from his injury layoff. Jesus, who wasn't selected in the previous game, if he's also picked, he would want to score and say, okay, you don't always have to go without strikers. We too can get the job done. Also, Sterling will be hungry for goals, and De Bruyne has been in majestic form so far, so he would definitely be a pick in any FPL side I had.
Okay, it's quite interesting there, Dustin, because I would like to ask both you guys one thing now. Should somebody pick a Liverpool player as their captain, or should someone have someone from City as their captain, considering both could, you know, have a goal fest?
So then why not, if you have enough money in your bank, fill your team with at least 2 players from Liverpool, 2 players from Manchester City. I will love to have a Sadio Mane.
I'm talking about who would you captain.
I will have a midfielder, attacking midfielder from Liverpool's side.
Okay.
And then make them
a Salah or a Mane.
Okay. Because if you see, City concede goals
mm-hmm.
this season.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you concede goals, then you don't get that bonus points for keeping clean sheet for the midfielders.
Right.
So I would have a midfielder from Liverpool as the captain.
Okay, what about you, Dustin?
Well, just to back Prakar's point, Salah has scored 7 goals in his last 11 matches versus Tottenham themselves. So
okay,
he seems to be a player who enjoys playing against them. But if you talk about City versus Aston Villa, over the last 5 matches, the aggregate score in this fixture has been 2-14. That's 14 goals for Manchester City compared to 2 that Aston Villa have scored. So definitely it's going to be a goal fest, and City players are going to be getting their name on the score sheet in this
one. I am captaining Aguero back in my squad.
Your favourite player.
Will most likely replace him with Mane. I just hope it doesn't backfire. But yeah, I would try that. Okay, now we did speak about United a bit there. They take on Norwich. Norwich sometimes, you know, have defeated, of course, they defeated Manchester City. And they have managed to upset a few other teams. They've had their highs and lows. What do you guys think? Let me start with Prakhar first. Do you think United at home will, you know, make mockery of Norwich side?
Firstly, they will love that they are playing at home because they have lost only one match across the season at Old Trafford. So that the home comfort will work for them. And against Norwich side, which started very well at the start of the season, they have dipped, drastically dipped, their form has dipped. So I see United defeating Norwich in this match. And although there are still injury concerns for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, his key players in form of Paul Pogba is still not there, and the form of Jesse Lingard. Some 2 seasons back, he was the one who was scoring some important goals for United. But all through the last season, the entire 2019, he hasn't scored a single goal. Okay. So they have a missing piece where a Jesse Lingard or a Juan Mata, the attacking midfielders who link play from midfield. So they have been poor. So that's one of the problems, and their injury concerns as well. So, and also their defender Harry Maguire is also injured for a long time. So apart from injury concerns, playing at home would work in United's favor. So yeah, I expect a win for United in this match.
Definitely, I mean, there shouldn't be any doubt that United could have the upper hand as far as playing Norwich is concerned. But Dustin, would Norwich manage to score against United, given that Pukki and quite a few players have been playing pretty well there?
Well, Norwich have been playing really well, but they can't maintain that same intensity. I've seen over 2 halves, is generally they play well in one half and the second half they lag back. Also, you should remember the reverse fixture of this match was an interesting one. United won 3-1, but Tim Krul in that game saved a penalty first from Rashford and then from Martial also. He saved 2 penalties in that game. So they will put up a fight against United. But whether they'll be able to come out with a win, that's difficult to say. Although Pukki, you did mention, he has scored 9 Premier League goals so far. But he's an injury concern for this game. He didn't play, I think, in the last one. And in midweek, they had an 18-year-old striker, Adam Ida, who scored a hat-trick in the FA Cup, Norwich City. So it could be, if Pukki is missing, they might try to give Ida a full Premier League debut, and that would be interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah, then indeed that would be interesting. Let's talk about Chelsea and Burnley. Now, Burnley go to Chelsea. I think definitely Chelsea will have an upper hand, but their form has dipped off late.
Their form, especially at home, Jerome, they have 3 losses in their last 5 matches at home. And overall, if you consider all the matches played in the Premier League so far and their victories, they have won 7 matches away and just 4 matches at home. And generally, a home is supposed to be a fortress. So there's something missing in their home form. I guess when teams come there, they just sit back, wait, absorb the pressure and hit them on the counter. And they couldn't have asked for a worse opponent for this type of a fixture than Burnley, because Sean Dyche will drill his defence, having conceded goals in the past 2 game weeks. He will want them to keep a clean sheet in this game. So Lampard did show that he has some tactical acumen against Arsenal when he structured that turnaround with a substitution in the first half. So it would be interesting to see what answers he finds to solve this home problem that he's got right now.
Alright, Prakhar, you think Burnley will be able to overcome or, you know, overwhelm Chelsea?
They would just rely on the fact that Chelsea have a poor form at Stamford Bridge this season. But other than that, they are just 4 points above the relegation zone.
Okay.
And they have lost 9 of their last 13 Premier League fixtures. So Burnley themselves are in a kind of a fix and in a problems of sort. So I don't see, but Sean Dyche at times out of nowhere, he comes with some magical formula, and Burnley are notoriously known to be the giant killers at very random times. So this could be one of the smacks when Chelsea are looking to stabilize their form, but Sean Dyche will love to see his boys like stand back and then hit Chelsea on a counter and score just one goal out of nowhere and win the match for themselves.
Alright, let's talk about Arsenal too. Arsenal take on Crystal Palace, or rather travel to Crystal Palace. I am not quite sure if Arsenal will take this away, because they have really badly dipped in form even after Arteta. Correct me if I'm wrong, after Arteta, you know, taking over, have they improved their game?
Well, Jerome, firstly, we have to acknowledge that they did beat Manchester United, which you said might not happen in the previous podcast.
Yes.
And yes, I mean, if you consider the games that they've played under Arteta so far, the Bournemouth-Chelsea games did have a certain intensity, so did the Manchester United one. And from those three, they only won the United one. And they did play very well and were helped sort of by United not performing that well in midfield. But when they came up against Leeds United in the FA Cup in midweek, it was same old Arsenal in the first half. It was really poor, and it was surprising that after that intensity that they managed. And you could tell that maybe the players also slacked off because they were playing against a championship side. But Leeds aren't just a pushover. They are top of the championship right now, and they will be promoted, and we'll see them in the Premier League next year. What happened interestingly in that game is that Arteta lost his cool in the dressing room at halftime. Apparently he shouted at the players. This is what the players themselves said in the post-match. And it was back to that same intensity that we saw in the first three games. Arsenal came out of the blocks flying in the second half, and they did manage to still squeeze just a 1-0 win. But still, it was a victory and a clean sheet. So there have been improvements, and Arteta said something really telling in his post-match interview. He said, "I have seen how these players reacted after a draw. I saw how they reacted after a loss, and then I also saw how they reacted after just one victory," which does show he needs to get these players on a good mental footing to perform at the level that he's expecting. But I do think that they should nip a result in this one.
Alright, maybe Arteta should just scold them before sending them onto the field before the first half. Prakar, what do you think of Crystal Palace?
For me, is one of the match of the weekend.
Okay.
Why? Because it's a fight between the 9th and the 10th.
Okay,
and the winner of this match will just be that closer to a European football spot for next season,
mm-hmm.
and a loss will dent their European chances that much. So I see both the teams going out and out and making a statement that yes, we are the deserving team for the European spot for next season. But then again, I see Arsenal bit of a favorite in this match against Crystal Palace.
Okay.
But for me, if there's a match to watch out for, this has to be the one. It's a London derby, by the way.
Right. But do you think Crystal Palace even get one goal against Arsenal?
They could. There's no doubt, because they will have Christian Benteke back in the mix.
Okay.
And he's the one whom they will rely on to give goals for them. But
okay.
Yes, they will score the goals, but this is one of the match, because right now every match that the team plays, the teams which are in from 5th to 10th, every match that they play and they win, they will more or less likely fix their European spot.
Right.
So yes, so this is a match.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dustin, but last time when Crystal Palace travelled to Arsenal, unpleasant memories there.
Really unpleasant, Jerome. We scored 2 goals in the first 9 minutes and Arsenal went on to draw that game, and it was the infamous one where Granit Xhaka was substituted in the second half and he walked slowly off the field, which led to fans booing their own captain, and Xhaka took off his jersey and lost the captaincy since then. But since Arteta has taken over, we've seen a complete overhaul in Xhaka's performances. He's been brilliant with the ball. You tend to scream for the team to pass him the ball. Earlier it was sideways passes, now he's more direct, and Arteta did say he's a player he rates highly. So this could be a time when Xhaka exercises those demons from that game, and the fans have been getting behind him in recent performances. Another interesting subplot would be Wilfried Zaha's performance in this game, because he was a player who was chased around by Arsenal in the summer, but he was priced out of a deal because United have a clause in a contract that says they get 20% of the fee when Zaha will be sold. So Palace wanted 80 million and Arsenal ended up going with Nicolas Pepe for 72, and both of them are Ivory Coast teammates.
Right.
So once again they'll be pitted up against each other in this, and Zaha would want to say, "I could have done a better job than what Pepe is doing," and vice versa. So this would be interesting to watch.
Right, and quite interesting there. Yes, both Ivory Coast players, you know, facing off against each other. Let's talk about Leicester City and Southampton. The last game that these two teams played, Leicester City blanked Southampton at St. Mary's Stadium. 9-0. What do you guys think could happen this time around?
Well, if there is a story to be told out of this Premier League season, other than Liverpool, it has to be Leicester. And Leicester were in and around playing well, but it is only after this match when they came out of nowhere and thumped 9 goals and scored a league record of being the largest away victory. And that's when the people started taking notice. Okay, hello, there's another team in the fray in top 4. And yes, and ever since Brendan Rodgers had taken the charge of Leicester City, they have looked like a bunch of really energetic squad who are ready out there and ready to challenge any team. It's just not that they are thrashing the minnows of the Premier League. They are ready to take head on any team and win the matches.
Right.
And that too, they're playing at home. They will win.
Do you think the 9-0 win?
No, that's one of those rarest of rare moments.
Okay.
But